Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, B'Halotecha. This week, Rabbi Elisha Anselovitz discusses B'Halotecha. Rabbi Anselovitz is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Elisha Anselovitz.
Thank you, Larry.
This week's parsha is Parshat B'Halotecha. And in the midst of this parsha, which deals with Leviim, we deal with how to address a dilemma. And the dilemma is a dilemma of exclusion that strengthens a holiday of inclusion. And should you then expand your celebration to include the excluded people, you will actually weaken your holiday of inclusion. Now that sounded very vague, so let's actually look at the details. I'm referring to Pesach. Pesach creates a dilemma. The dilemma is as follows. There's a holiday of Exodus. I mean, Perek Tet now, chapter 9. Follow with me from the beginning. There's a holiday of Exodus. Exodus is about being taken out of Egypt, having been slaves, God redeeming, all the critical stuff on which Torah is built. Every time the Torah commands us to be ethical, it reminds us you were slaves in Egypt. God took you out. The power of God can overturn pure material power, or the ethical demand simply of you were once slaves too. However we explain that, that powerful, powerful memory of Yitzhak Mitzrayim is always found when the Torah wants to tell us to be ethical. So given that we have this command to celebrate Yitzhak Mitzrayim, the Torah comes here in Perek Tet, now again, chapter 9, and God tells Moshe, "V'debesh Moshe v'dvar Sinai b'shana shenit," a year after the Exodus, the first month, meaning Nisan, what we call Nisan, saying, the Jews shall celebrate the Pesach on its set date, the 14th day toward the evening, meaning full moon. Full moon, beautiful, beautiful time to have a night celebration. Full moon, spring, Aviv, Nisan. Everybody shall celebrate the holiday of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. It's beautiful, it's moving. And it's critical. Everybody should celebrate in order to remember this critical event. In fact, if we skip to Pasuk Yud Dalet, 14, V'chiyagu itchem ger v'asa Pesach l'Hashem, similar kechukat haPesach as it's said in the first three psukim, the ger, the stranger, whether it's a foreigner or more likely the resident peasants and so forth, people who weren't full citizens, whoever that stranger is, the stranger also celebrates it. Now, that's amazing, right? We're starting with an amazing commandment. So far, no complexity yet. We start with an amazing commandment that says, celebrate Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Not only should you celebrate, not only should everybody who is a citizen celebrate it, rather, even the ger should celebrate it, which just sends such a strong message. If everybody's celebrating it, then it reminds us, let us pretend now that we are all these citizens, it reminds us that the resident, alien, or whatever you want to call the ger, is included because, look, the ger is celebrating with us. And that's beautiful. We have this one set holiday, the national holiday, the holiday of liberation, and it's also the ethical demanding holiday of liberation. However, the story gets a little more complex. If you turn to Pasuk Vav 6, you now have a problem. And the problem is that there are people there who are tmeim lenefesh. They are unable to celebrate because they are mourning their dead. They are impure from nefesh, from encountering the loss of breath, loss of life in another person. They're mourning. And they can't celebrate. And they come to Moshe and they say, we are impure from death, meaning we're mourning. We can't celebrate at this point. Why should we not be able to also bring a korban in front of God as part of this Jewish people with this whole major event and holiday and being in front of God who's liberated us? Now we have a dilemma. Because one simplistic response would be, if you want to maintain a holiday, it has to be on a set date. That's what makes it feel real. Just like a birthday, which is a personal holiday, doesn't feel real if it's on a different date. You celebrate it some other day. Well, a national holiday, that what makes it real is that it's the day. It's the event. Imagine Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Part of its power comes from the fact that it's a Day of Atonement. Otherwise, every other day of the year, I could feel, well, I will be forgiven, I won't be forgiven. But here we have a Day of Atonement, I'm forgiven. Pesach, it's the day where God, I come in front of God and God sees me, God who redeemed us from Egypt. We all come in front of God. We all celebrate. You need a date. You need a set date. Not only a set date, what makes a set date real again is that everybody celebrates it. So it's a real date. That's a holiday. So one simplistic response would be to say, unfortunately, these people just can't come in front of God that year. They can't. They can't celebrate. What are they going to do? They're in mourning. They can't at that point celebrate yet. And so they miss the opportunity. The other simplistic response would be to say that, well, each person comes in front of God whenever they can. And that is powerful, right? On a certain date, I can't come in front of God. I'm in mourning. Maybe I'm not in mourning. Maybe I'm not fully in mourning over death, but there are other mourning distractions. I'm not able to come in front of God yet. And God accepts my Qurban whenever I'm able to come in front of God. That's powerful too. But of course, the problem with each response is the national holiday power of one set holiday excludes those who can't celebrate it because they're mourning. And the option of letting everybody celebrate when they can in front of God loses the power of a date which facilitates our ability to celebrate, which facilitates our memory, which facilitates just being fulfilling, mikayem, fulfilling the idea of remembering we all left Egypt. There's an ethical command upon us. So the two simplistic responses basically would prioritize one value over the other, and they would fail to fulfill everything we want out of Pesach. But that's not what God says. God comes up with a slightly more complex answer. God says, Emor al b'nei Yisrael, tell the Jewish people, Ish ish, ki yeh tameh lenefesh, over derech rechoka lachem, o ledorotechem, v'asa Pesach l'Hashem, a person who will be mourning, impure from death, or will be physically too far away to celebrate, he will do a Pesach, he will do it on the second month on the full moon. Meaning only 1 month later on the full moon. So let's follow what God did. God says, okay, I'll give you another holiday, an alternative day, but it'll be full moon, set date, and only 1 month apart. So it's pretty close. And then God, however, goes further. I'm now in Pasuk Yud Gimel 13. But the person who is pure, he's not mourning, he's not in this grief place where he can't celebrate, nor was he far away, but he does not, he avoids celebrating the Pesach, that person shall be cut off from his kin. Why? Because he did not celebrate on the right date. He will bear his guilt. What God does now is God says, originally, I told you there's one date. It's one holiday. Great. Everybody celebrates. Whoever can't celebrate, doesn't celebrate. Whoever avoided celebrating but could have celebrated, all the neighbors will look at that person and say, wow, you're really weird. And they'll look down upon them. Why didn't you put a flag outside your house? Why didn't you celebrate with a Korban Pesach? But that's it, because there's one date. We're not really worried about anything. But now that I, meaning God, now that I've introduced this option of another date, then we're going to be stricter about the first date. We're now going to say that if you do not offer the Korban Pesach on the first date, and you weren't in grief, and you weren't far away, then you are considered a sinner. So now let's just review what happened here, because this is, again, I'm saying this is an example of how to make a decision that takes into account the complexity of competing values or competing needs, and it's classic to halacha as I understand it. What happened is, God first comes along and says, every year you shall celebrate Pesach on the 14th. Makes complete sense. National holiday. Not only that, it's the holiday of ethical reminder. In fact, God doesn't add another step. In the beginning already, Pasuk Yudalet actually belongs to the beginning, and then the story is in the middle. God says, not only shall you celebrate, but so shall the ger. So shall the resident alien, or the poor peasant. Built into the holiday of celebration, of national redemption, is going to be the observance that everybody celebrates. That everybody counts. The ethical demand is built into the celebration. That's one step. But then we get to the complexity. What about people who couldn't participate, such as mourners? If the mourners' voices had not been heard, if they had not been able to speak up because society wouldn't hear them, then God would have left it at that, for the moment at least. Maybe later Halacha would have elaborated, but God would have left it there at the moment. Because frankly, if we have to choose between trying to somehow begin hearing excluded voices that can't be heard yet, and then messing up the whole concept of a holiday that's actually there for both personal national celebration and for ethics, then it makes sense to just achieve what can be achieved. The more critical demand of basic ethics, such as not abusing a slave, such as giving a day of rest on Shabbat, all these things connected to the Exodus, Tzitziat Mitzrayim. However, so that's where it was stayed. God simply said, observe the 14th in the evening, the full moon of the first month. However, the people's voices, the excluded peoples, the people in grief, the mourners, their voices were heard. And once a society or culture is at a place where those voices can be heard, then they have to be taken into account. Then God says, here, let me tell you what you do. You don't choose one over the other. You maintain a national holiday, and you maintain an alternative date, a fixed date. So a fixed date allows for a sense that it's real somewhat, only a month apart, again, full moon. It's all similar enough to be real. At the same time, now that there are two dates, and a person could easily exclude him or herself by pretending to be celebrating the other date, or just lazily avoiding the main date, even though they're not in grief, but gets in the way of their schedule, God comes along and says, no, now that there are two dates, we're going to be stricter. We're going to say you really have to celebrate the first date. The point I want to bring out of this example is that that is a history of halacha and the characteristic of good decision making. Good decision making is not choosing one value over another, because then you lose something. You create a national holiday and you exclude all the people in grief. You let everybody celebrate on the day that matches their needs, and you lose the power of the national holiday that helps people be ethical, that reminds them to be ethical, that causes them to celebrate together with the ger. Anytime we champion one value over another, we're just being blind to our needs. Sorry, we are being blind to other people's needs and following our own needs. We'll call them ethical. They're true. They are our needs and the other people's needs that match our needs. But they're in complete, how should I say, ignoring. They're in dissonance. They completely ignore the other people's needs. The option, the better option, is to actually make a decision that incorporates all the different values or all the different needs. And that is a history that we have from Tanakh, such as in this example, through the history of halacha. That a good halachic decision, whether you read Tanaim, applying the psukim, right, the Tanaim sages of the Mishnah period, applying the Torah, or you read Gemara applying Tanaim, or you read later rabbinic authorities applying the Gemara, the good decisions are always the ones, and these tend to be the ones we study, are the ones that incorporate the conflicting needs and concerns that were found earlier already, that were always part of life, and just need to be rebalanced differently because something has changed, because conditions have changed, possibly because the mourners are now heard, because their voices could be raised. So the one lesson I hope that we can take from this parsha, or one lesson that I hope we can take from this parsha, is that if we wish to make good decisions, we incorporate instead of choose between conflicting values. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Salvitz. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.